Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. We got several passages to look at this morning, and we want to start here. Verse number 22. Paul says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Have you ever stopped and thought, how in the world could Paul go through everything he went? How could Paul have an attitude like he has, totally committed, not concerned about a lot of stuff going on around him, and not a lot concerned about a lot of stuff happening to him? Because a lot of Christians panic over a lot of stuff. Life for many people is a time of stress, is a time of fear, is a time of worry, is a time when we wonder what's going to happen next. And we face things through our human emotions, as we talked last week, instead of facing them through the Word of God. I want to remind you of a few things, because every once in a while, pastor starts thinking about things. December 27th, 1967. 26th? Okay. My wife's historical. Was working, got a phone call that mom and dad were both dead. Do you know something? Because of the grace of God, I stand before you today. God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. It was in February, and I forget the year. We had a wild game dinner here. How many remember a wild game dinner? Not because you had an upset stomach, but because of what happened. We go home, I get a call. Dean and Janelle were killed on their way home. So Jim and I jumped in the car and headed for Webster and got to the hospital and spent some time there. I believe the month was August. I'll never forget the hill and pier coming down as we received a call that Tim was missing, Tim Davenport. We had a short Sunday service, and we headed for Wilmer, and they had found him. The plane was crashed. Tim and a friend of his were gone. So we've been through some things in this church, and we can learn and know and understand that the grace of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God is so powerful and so strong, and He will get us through this time. It's not a time of wondering where's Hoot and Mabel at and what's going on. They're in the presence of God. They're worshiping God. You know, Hoot doesn't have to open the pickup door anymore. And Mabel's not walking with a cane. They're walking on streets of gold in the presence of God, totally, absolutely healthy in their spiritual body and enjoying the presence of heaven. Now, Paul talks to us about his life, and I just spent yesterday morning and this morning just going through, and some time yesterday afternoon just looking at Paul. And realizing there was something within that man that motivated him to face all kinds of obstacles, all kinds of tribulations, all kinds, and tribulation means heavy pressure and stress. And still he walked in an overcoming, victorious spirit. And he says here, let's look at it. He says, and see now I go bound in the Spirit. If you have the NIV, it's compelled in the Spirit. The Spirit absolutely, radically led him in places. And Paul says, I don't know what's going to happen there. How many of you really can look at me this morning and say, I know exactly what's going to happen in my life this coming week? You might have your planner. You might have everything spelled out. You might have everything written down. You may even have a palm. I got a palm too. You know, every once in a while I write on my palm too. Come on. And you may have it all together. This week is going to be this and this and this. How many have ever had any interruptions in your schedule? Huh? How many panicked? If I can't go by my palm, if I can't go by my calendar, if I can't go by what's going on, life is just terrible. I won't use the other word that people use. Paul says, hey, I am compelled by God to go to Jerusalem. And you know something, folks? I don't know what it's going to be like, except I know that chains, you know what chains mean? Prison. I know that prison and tribulation awaits me. Now, the last time I thought about it, if I knew that tribulation and prison faced me, I was going to go the opposite direction. I mean, I may have been born at night and I may have been born in the dark, but boy, if there's prison and tribulation there, I'm getting out of there. Not Paul. Why? Because his life was absolutely led by the Spirit. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. How did Paul get through? He got through with this attitude. Verse number 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. 2 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know. Say, I know. How many of you really know God? How many of you really know his heart for you? How many really know what he's preparing for you? How many really know that even when you're down and discouraged and frustrated, he's still up? Come on, say amen. Amen. You know, you're down and discouraged, and even depression doesn't bring him down. He's there. That's right, buddy. You've been praying lately? Been asking God for a lot of stuff? Did you ask God to bring Jeff to church this morning? Your daddy? Oh, you didn't. Little angel did. And he says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed. Think about that. Until the day, what day? The day I stand in his presence. Look at me for a moment. I hope you know I love you. I can never love you as much as God does, but do love you. But I learn in my own life, I can't be in charge. Every time I take charge, I mess up. And God understands. We still like to make our own decisions. We still, but he's saying, just take a moment and think. Paul quit making his own decisions. Oh, he had a few spaces in his life where seemingly he went through some tough times and a couple times unloving, and he learned from it. Paul says, I know who I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I give him. Therefore, I can go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not even caring what's going to happen. He didn't like to be beat, and he didn't like prison, and he didn't like all that stuff. He just knew how to respond to God. How many of us, when we're going through a tough time, just start singing? Not that one from Hee-Haw, Woe and Agony and... That's not what we sing. But Paul and Silas were singing in prison. And what happened? An earthquake happened. So when things get heavy, Paul understood that no matter the beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and all the stuff he went through, he knew who he was committed to. And he knew who he had given his life to. There are some things we can learn through the hard times we go through, and that is keep committed. Keep focused. Keep your eyes on the prize, Jesus Christ. Don't get sidetracked. You know something? If I'd have been in that vehicle, and that would be me that just went to heaven, I would sure be thankful I was serving God. I would sure be thankful that I knew him on a personal basis, on a first name basis. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't be thinking, man, last week I was doing this and last week I was doing that and that. You know, if I'd have been in that pickup, the first thing I would say, thank you, God, for keeping me strong. Thank you, God, for encouraging me to seek after you. Thank you, God, that I listen to your voice of your Spirit, and thank you for talking to me. I give my life to you, and now you've given me everything I could ever desire. Give the Lord a hand if you believe that. That's true. Paul was so solid that he could look at life as being in the hands of God, and that God led him into situations even though he was persecuted, and God kept him through it. And it's amazing. Because he comes to Philippians and 2 Timothy, and he starts talking, and he's just, the word in Philippians and some of these places, it's just like Paul is kind of just opening himself up and saying, here's what I think, folks. Here's what God is doing in my life. Here's what God is leading me into. And he starts writing, you know, and it's pretty amazing. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. Not that I've already arrived, not that I'm where I want to be, but I'm pressing forward so that I can lay hold of the prize. It's a picture of a 100-yard dash man, if I may use that term, stretching to reach the tape and be the first one to break it. Paul saying, I'm straining forward. It's not up one day and down the other. It's not serving God today and doing my own thing the next day. Paul says, my life is wrapped up totally in God. That's where I want to be. And I know that's where you want to be. But understand something. And it hit me one day a long time ago. God can only keep what I commit to Him. You know, I may try to run my own life and probably get to heaven because of Jesus. But it's so much easier when I say, God, my life is yours. I'm committed to you. I want to please you. You committed to me. It's like Kirk was saying, we're responding in worship to God. We're responding to God in commitment by how we live. Come on, quit frowning. You're scaring me. It's a good day. It's a wonderful day to be serving God. You know, and if you're upset about the rain, blame Curtis. He's been praying for it. I went out there to preach on the rodeo days, and they're praying, oh, God, don't let it rain, and then they're watering some snow. I'm thinking, something's wrong with this picture. God, don't let it rain, don't let it rain. And then they bring this whole tanker out and start wetting everything down and making mud. I don't think God was confused. I think he laughed. But what are you committed to? It's very interesting. You know something? Someday, just got to take your calendar and say, God, fill it for me. Where do you want me today? How do you want me to do this? Lead me. Go back with me to Acts chapter 20, if you would, please. Verse 24. And Paul says this, and I don't know how your Bible would read, the New King James read, but none of these things move me. Anybody got NIV? What does it say?
My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus.
Wow. So nothing that I'm going through or nothing that is happening to me is going to make me stop what I'm doing for the kingdom. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I'm pressing on. I'm going through. I am not going to allow anything to stop me from finishing the course, the race that God's put me on. You know, almost every preacher gets up on Monday morning and thinks, I'm going to quit. I used to do that. You didn't think you preached very well, and somebody told you you didn't. It's amazing how much wisdom and insight God puts in congregations. What are you laughing about? It's amazing how, you know, you get home from preaching and you can remember everything you didn't say. And then you can remember what you did say, and then you turn, oh, I said that? Well, you got to realize at my age, I don't remember. So we come to this place where we need not allow anything to hinder from completing the race. I made up my mind about something. I want to live my life with no more regrets. I want to walk this life out being led by the Spirit of God. And yeah, sometimes things, and you'll scratch your head and you'll say, God, is that really you? You really want me to do that? Or somebody may get in your face and say, well, I just think you think you're better than everybody else because of this Jesus stuff. I liked you better when you were running the bar and doing all the other things. Huh, Angie? And you know something? Even though we know we're not going back, it hurts. But Paul was determined to run the race. Paul was determined that regardless of what was happening to him, he was going to allow the Holy Spirit to work through him. Now we can fast forward a little bit. We're coming now to the end of Paul's life. It was going to be over. Most of you realize that one day, just like John the Baptist, the executioner came in, took a sword, and severed his head from his body. Paul knew that was coming. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 6. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. That was in relationship to his death. He knew that his blood was going to be spilled. And the time of my departure is at hand. The word departure is like a ship being loose from its moorings. It's the lines are cut and the ship just starts floating. I remember we were having campouts up at Roy Lake, and Kirk's father-in-law, I won't tell you who he is, was backing a boat into a lake next to Roy. I'm not sure what is on the west, right on the west side of Roy. And another gentleman and I were out in a boat, and all of a sudden we see this boat drifting out. Nobody in it. And some guys on shore wave, hey, stop the boat! So we stopped ours and watched. And this nice, beautiful boat comes floating on the waves, so peaceful. So we threw Jim a life jacket and a swimming suit. No, he didn't. But that's what Paul was saying. I'm going to be free. I'm not going to be tied up. I'm not going to be chained. I'm going to be free. We did get the boat for him. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. What's he saying? He's saying throughout my whole life, I was doing what God asked me to do. I fought it. I fought imprisonment. I fought torture. I fought all the things that happened to me. I fought being shipwrecked. I fought being in the deep. I fought all the stuff that 2 Corinthians 11 talks about. I went through it all. I fought the stonings. I did that. And then he says, I have finished the course, or I have finished the race. I ran this race with all my might. And I finished it. I allowed nothing to hinder what God told me to do. I ran the race. And I kept the faith. in spite of all the assaults, in spite of all the obstacles, in spite of all the struggles, I finished what God called me to do. Nothing kept me apart from that. You know, I was sitting in a pickup with a man quite a while back now. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, Pastor, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit." It wasn't anybody here, so don't think I'm talking about you. And I said, "Okay, that's good. Go ahead." He said, "But where are you going to? Who are you going to turn to? What do you mean? If you quit, what are you going to go into? If God can't help you, can something else help you? If God can't get you through, if God's grace and mercy and love and all his compassion toward you and all the ways he wants to bless you and everything he's doing can't get you through, you think the devil's going to?" And he said, "No." And he's still moving on with God. You know, there are speed bumps in this walk with God. There are times that we just stop and we reevaluate and we do the things that God wants us to do. And we get back in the Word and we get back on our knees and we start looking at things and saying, "God, how can I walk away from you? How can I get so focused on me that I quit looking at you?" That's all Paul made it through. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He stayed focused. You say, "What are you talking about today, Pastor?" I'm talking about staying focused. The sad part of the world that we live in is people are going to die. The sad part of the world we live in, injustice might happen to you. The sad part of it is maybe sometimes your children might embarrass you and do things that aren't right. And you can look at things and say, "Boy, what did all this faith stuff and what all this church stuff and what all this God stuff ever do for me? It kept your sanity." You say, "What do you mean?" We all live in the same world. And you may want to sometimes go on your own, and maybe you already have. But Paul says, take time out. Realize that it's Christ's commitment to you and your commitment to him that's keeping you on the right path. Understand that in this world we will have tribulation, but Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome." There's nothing that we face that God hasn't defeated and overcome. We want to try to defeat it ourselves and it'll overrun you. Let God do it for you. You know something? In spite of being in the world, it's a great life. With everything going on around us, it's a great life. Come Saturday, it'll be a great life. I remember, and I'm done. I was a young preacher. One time I was young. You may not realize that. I wasn't born 60 years old. I won't tell you how much more. Walked into a hospital in Virginia, Minnesota one morning. My secretary went in for some tests. We had prayed for a piano player for our church for quite a few years up there. It was a pretty small church, and it was the first church I ever pastored. One Sunday, Wayne and Pat from Peoria, Illinois, walks in the church, and they look at me and say, "We don't even know why we're here. Maybe you want to tell us." And I said, "Any one of you play piano?" His wife said, "I do." I said, "That's why you're here." And they quit their jobs. They moved to Virginia, back and forth in different jobs for a while. They started finally a Village Inn restaurant. She became one of the secretaries we had at the new church. Walk in, the doctor comes in the room and says, "You have lung cancer." Another family in the church found out that her husband had cancer, and they both died a week apart. We went through those weeks, probably within a month. But you know something? God was faithful. God was faithful. And you may say, "What about the people that died?" They were in heaven. I preached Chris' funeral, and most of the friends that he had were not saved. As I preached that funeral in the funeral home, our new church wasn't quite ready yet. Several people committed their lives to Jesus Christ. Everything's not good, but God takes what enemy means for bad and brings something good out of it. I'm expecting people Saturday to accept Jesus Christ. I'm expecting, as Kirk and Marnie lead worship and as we allow the Spirit of God to move in this place on Saturday, that people are going to commit themselves and sense the presence of God. And it might be for the first time for some. Satan meant it for evil. But through that dark cloud, the light of Jesus Christ shines bright. And things turn around. Take a look at your heart today. Just bow your heads with me. I just want you to think while you're sitting there. Am I more committed to my agenda or God's for my life? It's a good day to make a change. It's a good day to make a mid-flight correction. Just a good day to honestly take a look and say, "God, I want to be exactly like Paul. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit. And Father, right now as I'm sitting here, I commit everything to you. I give it all to you. Let all the unresolved issues about your relationship with God be resolved right now. Because he loves you. No matter where you've been or what you've been doing, he accepts you. And he's just calling you to come back. Come back. Father, I thank you for this morning. I do pray for Peggy and the family that you'll touch and minister and comfort and strengthen. And let us all realize the race is not over yet for our lives. And Father, let our lives be absolutely, radically, completely committed to you. And Father, this morning we give you praise. In Jesus' name.